As we read the scripture, found in Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And we'll read responsively this morning. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I also have established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say I unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land, concerning that which I did swear, and give it unto Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Lord. We thank you that you are our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us through Jesus Christ today. You brought us to this place so that we might hear and be challenged by the preaching of your word, Lord. Be with the preacher this morning. Help him, Lord Jesus. Strengthen him, Lord, and help him as he delivers the message this morning. And be with us as a people. Give us humble hearts. Give us hearts that are surrendered to you, Lord Jesus. We pray that as the preaching come forth, we may be challenged, and we may be challenged to grow in you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In our text, at the first, of course, 8 verses of this chapter, you see the words, I am the Lord, 4 times. Verse number 2, I am the Lord. Verse number 6, I am the Lord. Verse number 7, I am the Lord your God. Verse number 8, I am the Lord. I want to start out with a story. A young man, and of course that's my title by the way, but a young man was learning to be a paratrooper. Before his jump, he was given instructions. Jump when you are told, count to 10, and pull the ripcord. In the unlikely event your parachute doesn't open, pull the emergency ripcord. When you get down, a truck will be there to take you back to the base. The young man memorized these instructions and climbed aboard the plane. The plane climbed to 10,000 feet, and the paratroopers began to jump one by one. When the young man was told to jump, he jumped. He then counted to 10 and pulled the ripcord. Nothing happened. His chute failed to open. So he pulled the emergency ripcord. Still nothing happened. No parachute. Oh, great, said the young man. I suppose a truck won't be there when I get down there either. I have kind of a hunch that reading, of course, if you read these first several verses of chapters of Exodus, you'll see the bondage that God's people is going through. I think that this kind of place, okay, this young man, you know, the two parachutes didn't open. The trucks may not be there either. I have a feeling maybe that Israel found themselves in that kind of place. When you look at these scriptures, you find that they've been in, of course, been in Egypt, if you will, for 400 years. They had entered Egypt with favor, but the winds of adversity and opposition began to blow, and the result was they found themselves enslaved to the Egyptian people. Under the taskmasters, God's people, Israel, endured heavy affliction and suffering. In the midst of their trouble, God's people were crying out to the Lord. In Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to read a couple verses here, 23 through 25. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God heard their cries and raised up an unlikely man to deliver his people from this land of bondage. Of course, that unlikely man was Moses. Moses, of course, he had a big job. You know, and by the way, let me just say this. You know, God has a tendency to choose the most unlikely people to do big things. You know, I think of David. You know, a young man, okay? Most unlikely man to go into the army or to go face that Philistine giant. Most unlikely man. You know, Saul, head and shoulders above the rest, should have been the one to do that. You think of his brothers who are older or other Israelites' army. You know, that's another story. But the truth of the matter is God has a tendency to go ahead and use the most unlikely people to do a big job. Moses, he was 80 years old. He was a fugitive from the law. And he was the one who was going to deliver God's people out of the land of bondage. You know, let me just say this. You know, Moses is a great example of one that people say, you know, he's unusable. He's a murderer. You know, he's 80 years old. I mean, why would you take an 80-year-old man and he killed somebody to go ahead and do the biggest job probably ever? You think about the millions of people, of God's people being led out of Egypt. And God said, hey, you know what? Moses, you're the man. Moses, you know, I got a job for you. Let me just stop and say this. You may be here today and you think that God may not be able to use you because of some past sin. We got to get over that. You know, we got to get over that. You know what? We are human. Okay, you pinch yourself in the morning, amen, you know, you're going to hurt. I mean, we're human. We're robed in flesh. We do make mistakes. And the truth of the matter is I get tired of God's people saying, well, you know what, preacher, I can't do this, or I can't do this, or I can't do this, simply because of the past. You know, God wants to use you right where you are. And the truth is, and this is a little bit of a side note, and this is a little rabbit, but I'm going to catch up to it. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Maybe there is some mistakes of the past. Maybe there is some sin of the past. You know what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us and from all unrighteousness. Hey, you know what? God wants to use you, church member. You know, teenager, he wants to use you. Hey, child, he wants to use you. Hey, adult, he wants to use you. And don't go ahead and look back at the past and say, well, you know what, I did, preacher, you don't understand. I did that. Okay, maybe you can't be all that God could have used you way back when. But the truth of the matter is, clean yourself up, get right with God, and say, okay, God, from here on, I'll serve you. You know, Moses, you know, Paul, you think of endless characters, men of God of the Bible that God used to do big things. And you know what? Despite where you've been, despite what you've done, despite anything, God can use you. I just love that. I love the fact that I love God's grace. I love how the fact that he's so gracious. But Moses, he killed a man. As a result, he ran from the law and lived on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And God called him out of that burning bush. We know that story. And he did a great work for God. Let me tell you something. Doesn't matter where you've been, but you can do a great work for God right where you are. You can do that. Moses arrived on the scene from the desert to the very place he ran from years before. He goes and confronts Pharaoh and demands that he release God's people. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let me just read a few scriptures here. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, or as heretofore, let them go, and rather straw for themselves. And verse number 8, and the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, he shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish ought thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Hey, you know, of course, Moses, he comes from the backside of the desert. He's been called of God through that burning bush. God says, I got a very special job for you. And Moses is, of course, he the excuses he gave. I can't speak. I can't do this, you know, so forth. But God said, hey, you know what is in thine hand? I'm just reviewing a little bit. Now he's going to the very land that he had to flee from. And he goes and faces Pharaoh. And he says, let my people go. And as a result, Pharaoh would not go ahead and let the people go. As a result of it, Pharaoh said, hey, lay the burdens on Israel a little bit heavier. Lay it on tougher. Lay it on very, very heavy for them. Make it heavy on the people of God. And as it got tougher, the Bible says in Exodus 5, 6 through 23, I won't read it all, but the Bible says that Pharaoh, he burdened Israel to a point where they were at the point of breaking. Let me ask you something. Are you there today? You know, maybe the weight of your burden and your trial, whatever, maybe, you know, we've all been there. We've all been to a point where it gets so heavy that we're at the point of breaking, and they turn on Moses, you know, and they were thinking, okay, here's the deliverer, you know, let me just read a few verses, number 19, I hope, just follow along with me real close until I get right on through this, okay? And the officers, verse number 19, of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, they shall not minish aught from their bricks of your daily tasks. And they met Moses and Aaron and stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of the servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Now you think about it. You know what? Pharaoh went ahead and put more burdens on. Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, I'm going to go ahead. And he made the weight even heavier. And Moses scratching his head, God, why am I here? You know, why am I here? You know, the Bible teaches that Israel, they turned on Moses. So what did Moses? And I thank God, that's what we all ought to do. When people turn on you, when you think there's no other way out, hey, you know what? The best way out is you better run to God. You know, that's what Moses did. He says, why am I even here? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. You know, Moses, you know, even he, you know, not only the people of Israel, I think, man, oh, man, we're going to get out of this mess. Israel might have thought, we're going to get out of this state of bondage and slavery. Hey, you know what? God sent a deliverer, Moses. You know, the man of God surely going to go ahead and get us out of this. Hey, you know what? God called him on the backside. Maybe they heard. Maybe there's a little talking going on. Hey, you know what? Hey, Moses is coming back. He's going to deliver us out of here. We're not going to be under the slavery anymore. But when they found out that Moses wasn't able to do anything, they were probably even more frustrated. And Moses got frustrated. Why am I here? Why am I even here? And when the man of God, you know, he turns to God, and Moses, I like I said, was a little bit frustrated. Why am I even here? And God offers Moses some heavenly words of comfort to offer to the children of Israel. He says in verse, and I'm going to read these scriptures, some of these scriptures again, verse number 2. And God spake unto Moses, said, unto him, I am the Lord. Verse number 1, let's see. Then the Lord said, after Moses came back to God, said, why am I here? You know, the evil is upon these people. You know, they're not even going to, you know, you're not even delivering them at all, if you will. Then the Lord said unto Moses, verse 1, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. Hey, Moses, I'll take care of Pharaoh. I'm going to take care of Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and he said to him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And also I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were made. Hey, you know, I remember what I promised Israel. I have also heard their groaning. I've heard their cries, Moses. Hey, you know, I'm going to take care of Pharaoh. You know, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Hey, Moses, you know, I want you to go back, and I want you to tell the children of Israel everything's all right. Hey, I care for them. I haven't forgot about them. I hear their groanings. There's some of you here today, you're groaning. You might be bearing a burden so heavy that you just wonder, how in the world can I get out of it? You know, you're maybe at this point, if you will, of no return. You're just saying, I just don't know, preacher, if I can hang on. You don't understand what happened this week. You don't understand the struggles that came my way. You know, preacher, I just don't know if I can go ahead and keep on keeping on. Hey, let me tell you something. The same God that heard the groanings of the children of Israel, hey, he'll hear your groanings. He'll hear your groanings. Hey, he cares for you. He says, I am the Lord. And church people, maybe you're here this morning and you've got the biggest weight of all ahead of you. Maybe you don't feel like you can face another day. Hey, let me tell you something. God is the Lord. Just go back. As the man of God, as the preacher, I'm saying, I am the Lord. Hey, you know, I want to tell you. Hey, you know, we serve the King of Kings and he hears your cries this morning. He hears your cries this morning. Hey, Moses, I want you to go back and tell them, I am the Lord. I want you to go back and tell them, I've heard their groanings. I want you to tell them, I haven't forgotten about them. Verse number 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. There's the second time. And I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Big G-O-D, by the way. You know, by the way, all that unfolds here can only happen by the hand of an almighty God. The burdens that they're going through can only be unraveled by the hand of an almighty God. I'm not talking about some Buddha. I'm not talking about some false God. I'm not talking about that. You know, the living and true God can only help you get through the trial that you're going through. Hey, Moses, go back and tell them that I am the Lord. Tell them that I've heard their groanings. Tell them I haven't forgotten about them. Hey, Moses, in other words, just tell them I care about them. Tell them I love them. Tell them we're going to go ahead and get through this. I'm sure, as I mentioned earlier a moment ago, and some of you, you're burdened very heavy this morning. You know, fear has entered into your life, maybe due to some unexpected event this week, or maybe some unexpected doctor's report. How often, you know, I've heard it said, and it even happened in our own life, as our church knows, you know, you get that unexpected doctor's report that it's cancer, that it's some other terminal disease or some other illness or whatever the case may be, and fear enters into your life. Some trial maybe has come your way. Some heartache, some disappointment maybe has come your way. Maybe you feel like you've jumped out of the plane and the parachute number one didn't open. Well, I got that emergency ripcord, the emergency one's going to, but that one didn't open either. And you're up there in the air thinking, probably the trucks won't be there either. I can guarantee you, you know, just reading these scriptures, you know, reading the last part of 5 and working right into chapter 6, you know, Israel felt that way. Israel was frustrated. Israel felt like nobody cared. And I want to offer you this morning the same advice that Moses, that God told Moses, tell the children of Israel, hey, I am the Lord. God, the King of Kings, is the Lord. You know, he loves you and he cares about you. God will take care of you. I want to tell you that he is the Lord, and he will bring you out from them burdens that has caused that's in the middle of your life right now. You may sit here wondering why. You may wonder, why does this happen? Why has this happened? Man, things are going pretty good. May I just, as a reminder, or just to tell some of our visitors, and some of you know the story. Back in a couple years ago in August, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And just as to illustrate my point here, you know, here I was at a full-time assistant pastor at Calvary Baptist Church, Turner, Maine. Things were wonderful. I had a large youth group, and I worked over 5 bus routes. We brought in consistently 120, 130 kids on 5 bus routes. I mean, we saw many, many great things, people being changed. You know, God was just, man, I was at on the high point of my ministry as far as an assistant pastor. You know, and my wife had some checkups and so forth, and they were kind of concerned, but we just kept praying and praying. But the truth of the matter is, to make a long story short, you know, here I was up here. Here our family was up here. But all in a matter of just a half an hour's time, we knew on a Monday morning that the report was going to come back. And all in a matter of a half hour, everything just... When you hear the word cancer, and maybe some of you have too, a loved one, a friend, maybe it's some other illness, maybe it's some other woe, some other trial, you know what, all of a sudden it's like, wow,
kind of become numb to everything. And the truth of the matter is, you know what, you may feel like that way this morning. Let me just stop and say this. If you're there this morning, hey, can I just say what God told Moses to say to his people? I am the Lord. I love you. I care for you. God's saying, I am the Lord. Hey, you may be going through it this morning. I plead with you this morning. Don't let the battle and don't let the struggle and don't let the disappointment and don't let the discouragement go ahead and cloud your vision of who God is. You know, and I think basically Moses had to go ahead and God had to remind Moses, hey, Moses, I'm still in control here. Everything's okay. I want you to go tell them. I'm hearing their groanings. I haven't forgotten about them. And I think that Moses had to be reminded of that. And I think he also had to go remind the children of Israel. The children of Israel, of course, they've been in bondage and they've been enslaved by the world and by the Egyptians. And it was so tough. And so they were afflicted and they were suffering and so forth. And they got sick and tired of it. And I could just see they thought, well, the deliverer is going to take care of it. Moses is here. Everything's going to be all right. But when Moses couldn't go ahead and do anything right away, frustration just even got more and more on him. You know, and you may feel that way this morning. You feel like, oh, maybe there's just a little way out here. Maybe there's just there's a little bit of hope here and so forth and so on. Hey, let me tell you, and if it doesn't go ahead and turn out to be the hope that you wanted, I plead with you this morning. And I say, God still hears your cries. And I plead with you this morning, don't let the cloudiness of that storm, the cloudiness of that burden go ahead and disrupt your vision of who God is. Don't you go ahead and turn back on God. Hey, my friend, this morning, I want to say to you, God cares about you. You know, God cares. I'm going to talk about three different areas this morning. God cares about your frustrations. You know, some of you may be here this morning, you're frustrated. Israel, of course, was both under bondage and burdens. And by the way, there is a difference. He cares about your burdens this morning. He cares about the frustration that them burdens give you. You know, burdens are those things that trouble us. You know, there's a difference. You know, he cares about your bondage and your burdens. Now listen here, burdens are those things that kind of, they trouble us. They stumble us, if you will. You know, them burdens are our worries. Is there enough money to pay for our monthly expenses? Sometimes we've all been there. There's more month than money. Amen? Happens a lot. You know, but we kind of get worried and we get a little bit concerned and so forth, and it becomes a burden. And if you're not careful, if that's all you rely on, if that's all you think about, if that's all you focus on, the truth of the matter is it's going to stumble you. It's going to cause you to trip. It's going to cause you to, if you will, fall, if you will, and not be as effective for God as he wants you to be. Hey, burdens are those things that trouble us. Burdens are our concerns. Maybe a bad doctor's report. You know, maybe you had some tests and you're waiting all weekend long and they won't tell you. It might be 2 or 3 days down the road before we get the final results and so forth. And you just kind of, you're trying to stay on top side. You're trying to think it through and say, everything's all right in my Father's house. It's easy to sing that when everything is all right. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, all weekend long, and maybe you had some doctor's report, and you're waiting for tests or so forth, and you get concerned, and you get worried, and it's that thing that troubles you. You know, burdens are your problems. You know, maybe you lost your job, and you wonder, how am I going to pay my bills? That's a problem, if you will. Maybe you're having a hard time raising your kids. Hey, that's a burden, and it's a struggle. We all have burdens. We all have struggles, worries, problems, and concerns. And by the way, let me just say this. God knows all about them. God knows about your problem. God knows about your struggle. God knows maybe you did lose your job. Maybe you are waiting for some doctor's report. Let me tell you something. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he's right there with you. He's a friend that never leaves you or forsakes you. He's right there. Hey, what I'm trying to say, God cares about your frustrations. God cares about your burdens this morning. I can well imagine the people of Israel, they were very frustrated. They were very frustrated. And I think that when they saw that hope of Moses coming in and say, hey, you know what, we're going to lead you out of here, and it didn't work right away, they even got more frustrated, and even the man of God got frustrated. Why am I here? He cares about you, the bondage that you're going through. You know, bondage are the things that control us. You know, maybe in the case of the people of Israel, the children of Israel, it was people that controlled them. They were slaves, the taskmasters. Pharaoh enslaved them. Pharaoh had control of them. Maybe it's a substance this morning. Maybe it's alcohol or drugs or cigarettes, these things that have a tendency to control us. And I've had people tell me, I have my habit, it's all under control. Hey, let me ask you a question. If it's under control, then why is it a habit? Why is it a habit? You know, it might be substance abuse that controls you. People say, I can give it up any time. And all the while that you feel like that you can control it. And the truth of the matter is, you know, nobody becomes an alcoholic till they become they take the first drink, by the way. No one becomes an addict to cigarettes or drugs until they take that first inhale, if you will. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you may think, hey, I got this all under control. How often I've heard people say that are battling addictions, say, hey, you know, preacher, I got it all under control. But all the while it controls them. They can never really go ahead and give it up. They can never really in their own selves give it up. And all the while their marriages fall into pieces. All the while they're maybe slow but sure losing their job. They're losing their children. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is that really worth being? Is losing your children, is losing your family really worth it? Is that drug? Is that alcohol? Is that pornography? Is that whatever the case may be? Is it really, really, really worth losing all that's really important in your life? Is it really worth losing that relationship with God? You know, and how often, and it grieves me, I used to work with an addictions program, Reformers Unanimous. You might be familiar with it. And I've seen people come in and go out, come back in and go back out. Of course, it was a very Bible-based program, which is the Word of God is ultimately, and Jesus is ultimately the one that's going to give you freedom from it. And but when talk to these people, these addicts, if you will, those that are struggling with abuse, they're bound up, their bondage has controlled them, and they say, preacher, I don't know what happened. My family's broken, I've lost my marriage, I've lost my kids, I've lost my job, I don't know what happened. Why did I lose my marriage? Why did I lose my money? Why did I lose my position, my possessions? It's because it's that very thing that you thought you had control of. You thought you had control of it. But after a little while, you know, that takes a hold of you. Brother Robles, would you come up here? I'm going to illustrate this briefly this morning. I can get my... I've used this illustration a long time ago, and as a matter of fact, I even saw Brother Robles use it, and he didn't even see me. Brother Robles, there's a microphone cord. What I could find this morning. This rope or this microphone cord represents sin. You know, the truth of the matter is, let's say I or whoever, a buddy at work, whatever the case may be, comes and says, hey, let's go out for a drink after. Go for a drink after work there, brother. And you know what? The strong Christian will say, those that are grounded in the Word, no, I can't do that. I got my wife and my kids to think of. I got to get home to them. Truth of the matter is, that's where we ought to be. But the truth is, maybe because there's burdens in the way, it seems like the Christians, even some of the greatest Christians, they fall and they trip. And when they do fall and trip, they fail to get up because they're under a load of weight. And this is just how the devil works. And when someone goes ahead and offers you, hey, let's go to the bar after. And maybe he's already down. He's a Christian man, if you will. Good man, loves the Lord. But maybe finances, maybe illness, maybe several different things has burdened him down to a point where he's really just desensitized. And he goes ahead and he takes this. Yeah, it's only one night. I'll only go and just get one little drink. Never haven't done it before. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Once he grabs a hold of sin, he may think, and maybe the preacher may say, hey, Brother Robles, you don't seem the same. Something's wrong, man. You know, and by the way, when the man of God sees that, you know, let me just say this. I'm not saying we're the brightest people in the whole world, but you know, if a preacher, whoever, someone that's in the Word of God, if they see that, don't get offended. Boy, you ought to thank God that you have a preacher, teenager. They see you going wayward. They come to you and say, come to my office. Let's sit down. Let's talk. What's up? You ought to thank God for that. That shows love, by the way. Your mom and dad may sit down. They see something's wrong. You know, don't you push them away. You ought to say, you know what, thank you, mom and dad. Boy, you see something in me. You know what, they're trying to nip some things in the bud, by the way. But you know what? He grabs a hold of that thing, and he may think that I've got control of it, Pastor. Everything's all right. But he thinks, you know, through all his burdens and all his trials, he's going to have control. But very slyly, as the devil works, you know, starts wrapping him right around. I'm not trying to hug you, brother. Oops. I'm going the wrong way. Okay, here you go. But it just slowly starts wrapping him around. It's kind of got him bound a little bit. You know, he's still a little bit free. You know, he can still move his hands a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, the preacher maybe sees it. Maybe his wife sees it, whatever. Hey, honey, what's up? Hey, church member, what's up? You know, there's something wrong. Hey, can I pray with you? Hey, preacher, I'm all set. I've got it all in control. Everything's all right. But very slowly and very surely, you know, the truth of the matter is, this sin or whatever it may be, it's binding him up to a point where the sin that he thought he would never take or grab a hold of controls him. He's unmovable. And it keeps on keeping on, and it keeps on keeping on, and it keeps on. And all through it all, you know what? His family starts getting affected. The time that he spent with his children is more limited. The time that he spent with his wife was way more limited. All because he picked up something that he ought not. I got it under control. And generally, and I've seen this as a preacher, I've seen this, and brother, you might have seen this. I have a dear pastor here today. He's probably seen it countless times as well. Brother Robles, who's a fellow assistant pastor, he's seen it. But the truth of the matter is, it just keeps on binding them up. And let me just stop and say this. As a church who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought never, he used to be a faithful church, he's no good anymore. That should never be. You know what? We ought to be reeling him in and say, you know what? The truth will set you free. You know, the Bible says, John 8, chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, and the truth is, instead of casting him out like we demonstrated last week, ye who are spiritual, restore one another, the Bible says. Instead of kicking them in the teeth, we ought to be saying, hey, you know what? Hey, Brother Robles, I want to restore you. And you know what? Let me help you get back in the Word of God. Maybe the preacher has to step up even a little bit more so and spend some time with him and try to reel him back in. By the way, again, we ought not ever get to a point as a church or as a Christian where he's trash. Never. But the truth of the matter is, somewhere along the way, he made a mistake. And maybe as a result of that mistake, he may never have or acquire what he could have had. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, as a Christian, we can go ahead and get the truth of the Word of God to him. We can disciple him again. And slow but sure, because God's Word is true, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth, the more that he absorbs the truth, the more that he absorbs the things of God, the more that he gets back into church, maybe his family will be restored. Maybe some of the sweetness and the fellowship that was once there might take a long time, but the truth of the matter is, you know, the truth, the very thing, the very sin, the very alcohol, the very drug, or whatever the case may be, the very thing, you know, what we ought to be doing is getting the truth to him, and the truth will set him free. Hey, you know what? God cares. You might be bound and you might be controlled by something that you should have maybe never picked up. And you may think because of that, you know, you don't understand, preacher. God does not love me because of that. You know, don't you ever fall for that lie. Don't you ever fall for it, because God cares for you. And you know what? This bondage may go ahead and bring you to a point of your knees, and bringing you to your knees and so forth. I've seen that happen many times once they've gone ahead and picked it up. Preacher, you just don't understand. And they're so broken. I thank God that they have enough in them to say, I know who I can run to. I know who will listen to me. I know who will go ahead and help bear my burden at any time they can come to that my doors, and I'll get on their my knees with them, and I'll pray with them, and I'll counsel them. I'll do everything I can because I want to get the truth of the Word of God back in them. Let me tell you something. When they do, when the truth gets back into their life, so no, if he's saved, he's never lost his salvation. Don't you misunderstand me. But you know, I've even seen the finest of people, Christians, stumble. And the burdens, okay, God cares about your burdens. That's your worries, that's your concerns, the things that kind of stumble, cause you to stumble. And let me just say this before it gets to a point of being bondage, get back up. Get back up. Because the very burdens, I think burdens is actually is lighter than the result of the bondage. You know, and when the burden of finances, the burden of health, or the burden of family, or the burden of this and that comes your way, you know, maybe you do stumble, but the Bible says a just man riseth up again, follows something up, but riseth up again. Hey, what I'm saying, get back up. I'm saying you get back up. You brush yourselves off, and maybe at that time, you know what, and a dear pastor and dear friends of the church, you know what, instead of going ahead and ignoring this, you know what, when they get to the point of burdens, we ought to be saying, hey, let me grab a hold of you. I'm going to pray with you through this worry. I'm going to pray with you through this concern. I'm going to help walk you through this. But the truth of the matter is, you okay? But the truth of the matter is, maybe they won't go ahead and come to the preacher. Maybe they'll ignore the preacher because they're so clouded, their vision's so clouded, and their focus on God is so clouded. And when they're down here, that's when they have a tendency to grab the things that really put them into bondage. That's step two. That's the bad stage, the detrimental stage. But even when they do, if they do get all wrapped up and maybe they lose their wife or their husband, maybe they lose their children, maybe they lose a job. The truth of the matter is, our job as a Christian, our job as a church, say, hey, you know what, buddy? I'm with this through you. I'm with this. Whatever. I'm going to stay by you through thick and thin. I'm never going to let you go. I'm never going to go ahead and stop praying for you. And maybe, listen to me, and I've had this happen. I've had people say, well, you know, you don't need to pray for me, you know, and so forth. You know, I still will pray for them. I still will care for them. You know, they can go ahead and leave. They can go ahead and leave the church. They can leave the preacher and leave everything that's important and so forth. They can leave their man, whatever the case may be. Hey, let me tell you something. I promise you this. I'm going to love you. And I'll do everything I can. And let me tell you something, poor decision-making may have go ahead and brought you down and maybe to a point where you grab something that ain't right and it tied you up. Let me just say this from my heart. As your preacher, I'll still be there for you. You may not want me. You may not want the church. You may not want the fellowship of the church or other people of the church. But let me tell you something. I promise you, this will still be the spiritual hospital. And if you fall, if you do fall, if you do get bound up, hey, you know what? The doors are still open for you, my friend. That's what Christianity is all about, by the way. Thank you, Brother Robles. You know, God cares for you. God cares for you. God cares for you if you, with your burdens, your concerns, your worries, and you may be going through it today. And instead of just staying down, later on, why don't you come to God and say, oh God, you know my worries, and I don't want to get to the point of bondage. I don't want to go ahead and get to the point where I'm enslaved by some drug or some alcohol or some other substance. I don't want to get to that point where I'm all wrapped up and lose it all and lose everything. Let me tell you something. You say, that won't happen. Oh yes, it does happen. Lose the very things that's important to you. Well, you know, your wife ought to be important to you. Your husband ought to be important to you. Your ministry ought to be important to you. Your God ought to be important to you. Hey, but they were in bondage. But you know what? God heard their groanings. God saw it, and God remembered them. Hey, Moses, I think the people need to hear that, you know, tell them I'm still on the throne. Tell them I'm here. I've heard them. And I'm going to care for them. I'm reminded of a lady that I was addicted to prescription drugs. Really a fine lady. She was saved. Our church had reached her through the years. And I thank God that even though she was absent from church for a while, and during that absence was when she actually stumbled and grabbed a hold of prescription drugs, she knew who to turn to, the church, the very church that found her and that won her to the Lord. I thank God for that. I'm reminded of her. She was addicted to prescription drugs. She went through it. And how often she would call me and say, Pastor, because she's so entranced in her drugs and so forth, Pastor, she'd call me up and she says, I'm ready to kill myself. And literally, I'd walk into her apartment several times and she had the knife right there at her wrist. I'd say, this isn't worth it. God loves you. She'd be crying and she'd be shaking and she says, you know, and so forth. And she's just so wrapped up and her mind was just so out of sorts and everything. And I'd have to say, God loves you. I'd have to keep on repeating it. God loves you. Hey, this isn't worth it. God loves you. Hey, God loves you. Hey, God cares about you. Hey, God wants to free you from this. You don't have to go ahead and be bound by this. Yet it's still, she's bound by it today. But she has to know that God loves them, loves her. You know, God responds, hey, to your burdens, I care about you. God responds to you, maybe you've gone so far that you're bound up. Hey, I care about you. And then God cares about your freedom. I've got to keep moving. God cares about your freedom. You know, God promises Israel that he will bring them out and redeem them. Exodus chapter 12 talks about the blood that was spilt by the spotless lamb and so forth, representing the Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? True freedom comes when you go by the cross, getting saved, in other words. You want real freedom tonight. Maybe you're here this morning. You don't understand exactly all this principle. You don't totally understand everything that's all about that. But the truth of the matter is, you will not totally understand until you become a child of God. You know what? You want real freedom this morning. Hey, I realize you're a sinner. Realize that Jesus, he paid the price on your sin. And you know what? Today you can be saved and you can walk in newness of life. You can have that spring in your step. Hey, what I'm trying to say, true freedom. God cares about your freedom. God has delivered you from your sin through his son, Jesus Christ. That's, you know, and the truth of the matter is, you know why we get so bound up as he was bound up just a moment ago? Because there's a sin problem in our life. We, just like Israel, they dealt with a sin problem. And the truth of the matter is, you may be bound up this morning because there's a sin problem in your life. Hey, and if you want to be released of it, Christian, hey, you got to go ahead and confess it to Jesus and be freed from it so that you could be moving again, so that you could be free, so that you could be used of God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, it's a sin problem, but God has delivered you from your sins through his son Jesus Christ. Hey, unsaved one, you may be here today. You may be here today. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And let me tell you something, no greater joy than being a Christian. No greater freedom than being a Christian. You know, I'm the happiest man around this morning, and I hope you are too. Why? Because I'm saved, and I know I'm on my way to heaven, and I don't have to die and worry about going to hell. Hey, just like them three people I led to the Lord yesterday. Hey, let me tell you something. Yesterday morning, they were bound by sin, and they were on their way to hell. But let me tell you something. By the end of 12 o'clock yesterday afternoon, you know what? They were saved by the precious blood of Jesus, and they're a child of God. And they're free. They're free. They're free. Hey, my friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, hey, I plead with you, come to know Jesus. You know, a lot of Christians, they become slaves to their burdens and disallowing them from keeping on going for God. I've seen many Christians quit because they become so enslaved by their burdens or their trials. Their burden so consumes them that they really lose focus on the one who can give them the strength through their trial. You know, Jesus is the only one that can really give you the strength. Yes, your preacher will give you strength the very best way he can. I'll pray with you. And how often you call me, and I thank you for that, and I love you, and I thank you. You call me and say, Preacher, pray for this, and boy, immediately I pray for you. Some of you just will come by my office and say, hey, Preacher, would you just please pray with me, and I'll kneel down, take a chair, kneel down, we'll pray together. And the truth of the matter is, I'll give you all the encouragement in all the world, but you know, the one that really knows, that's Jesus Christ, he cares about you. And I plead with you, don't, Christian, let your burden get to a point where it's bondage, that you lose focus on the very one that can get you through it. You know, there is victory on the other side. You'll get victory. Whatever it is, maybe you're going through some heart, whatever the case may be, you can name it right now. But you just keep on keeping on. You know what? You'll see the victory. The mountaintops will come. You know what? Sometimes you got to go to the valley. But you know what? You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 23, why did it leave me? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I love that. You may be walking through the valley this morning because of burdens, but guess what? Thou art with you. Jesus, he cares about you. He cares about you being freed from that burden this morning. But are you holding on to it? It's my burden. Nobody's going to know about it. But, you know, why don't you this morning decide, hey, you know what? Okay, God, it's you and me. I've dealt with this long enough, and maybe that burden is going to carry you to the point where you're so bound that it starts destroying and eating away everything that's around you. You know, he cares about your freedom. He cares about your fellowship. You know, they suffered. Verse number 7, I will take care of you for people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You know what? He cares about your fellowship. They suffered, and that brought him closer. You know, all through the Bible, you see Israel. You see other Christians. They go through things, you know, and as a result, it brings them closer to God. You know, you ought to let your burden bring you closer to God. You know, that's a bet. If there's anything that you get this morning, you ought to just decide, let your burden bring you closer to the one that'll carry you through. That's Jesus Christ. You know, and also let your burden, instead of shaking your fist at God and say, why? Why don't you allow your burden to help somebody else? Instead of shaking your fist, well, this isn't fair. I'm going through financial problems, or I'm going through an illness, I'm going through this and that, and so forth. Maybe God's going ahead and giving you that difficulty, number one, to maybe bring you closer. But number two, why don't you go ahead and use that burden to be a ministry to somebody else? You know, when cancer came into our family a few years ago, and by the way, those of you who don't know, my wife is cancer-free 2 years, celebrated it a couple weeks ago. But the truth of the matter is, listen, the truth of the matter is, you know, when cancer came into our home, you know what? Number one, it caused us to look at cancer a whole lot different, ever. But number two, let me tell you something. It burns me more when I hear, Pastor, I have cancer. You know, it allows me and it even allows my wife to go ahead and help them even more because we know what they're going through. I've had the privilege, my wife and I both have had the privilege of leading people to Christ with cancer. You know why? Because we know what they're going through. So I'm saying, instead of using that burden and shaking your fist, God, this just isn't fair, and allowing you to stay down, say, this is my burden, burden alone. Why don't you go ahead and allow God, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Why don't you come to him, allow him to carry you through along with it. Instead of you hoarding it and saying, this is my burden, I'm going to deal with it my way. Why don't you go ahead and say, no, God, hey, I'm going to allow this burden to bring you closer to me. I'm going to draw closer to you because of it, because I need you and I need your strength. But you know what? I'm also going to use that burden to minister to somebody else. Hey, you know what? Your burden ought to bring you closer to God. You know, and I've used this illustration a lot this morning, forgive me, but when that report of cancer came, I felt myself drifting. I was a full-time assistant pastor. I was very numb. The truth of the matter is that the greatest Christian ever is that lady that went through it, my wife. She was stronger, especially right off the get-go, stronger than I was. And I felt myself just... God, it's just, now here I was in my ministry here, and now I just feel like I have no strength to go ahead and go through this thing. You know, and I felt myself drifting. I had to go through a difficult period to realize that God is in control. And you know what? Once I got right with God, and I'm confessing this morning, but once I got on my knees and got right with God, I said, okay, God, I know you're in total control. And once I got myself to a point of saying, okay, God, I'm so sorry. So sorry, I'm just pointing fingers. But when I got right, let me tell you something, and I'm not boasting, but my relationship with my God is so much sweeter. because there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing. Let me tell you something, that's the sweetest place to be, Brother Olas. You know, your burden, if you're not careful, if you don't go ahead and just cast it over to Jesus, casting all your cares upon him, literally throwing your care upon Jesus, if you don't go ahead and do that, you know what? It's going to build up to a point where it starts breaking everything that's important away. And you will be drifting. Let me tell you something. I plead with you. If you're going through it this morning, Christian, come and give it to Jesus before it destroys everything that is important. And may you say when you walk out of here, nothing between. My burden? God, I used to try to carry it myself. I'm going to deal with it. No, why don't you? Hey, you know what? It's a whole lot easier if you just give it to God. You'll be able to smile a whole lot better. You'll be able to listen to the preaching a whole lot better. You'll be able to hang with people and have a spring in your step a whole lot better if you just decide, okay, God, you know what? You know, here. Hey, you know what? He cares about your frustrations, whatever you're going through. He cares about your freedom. He cares about your fellowship. And you know what? He cares about your future. What a future the children of Israel had once they left. God said, hey, you know what? I got a land flowing with milk and honey for you. Yeah, you've gone through here, but you know what? There's a better day coming. Hey, let me tell you something, and I've got to be through here. You know what? You may be going through it right here, and you feel like, boy, I'm having difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. It may be God's trying to get your attention so you come back to him. It may be, that's why. But you know what? When you release your burden and just say, Lord, okay, God, I can't take this anymore. You know what? You're going to be able to go ahead and look at the big picture a whole lot better. You know, you're going to be able to actually look at, oh, you know, yes, I got to bear these down here, but you'll be able to look at heaven a whole lot sweeter. You know, our destination's going to be wonderful, heaven. What a place it's going to be. Streets of gold, mansions, gates of pearl. But you know the greatest part about heaven? Jesus. Jesus. Maybe you're here today unsaved. You don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you release that burden this morning and understand you're a sinner, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Realize there's a price on sin. The Bible says that price is hell, but you know, Jesus, he paid that price. If you're a lady and you don't know for sure you're saved this morning, I encourage you. You walk down the aisle after a little while, we'll have a lady sit down and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man sit down and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. But Christian, going through it this morning, may I say what Moses said, what God told Moses to tell his people? I hear you. God hears your groanings. He hasn't forgotten about you. I am the Lord. I care for you and I love you. I know very simple and very practical this morning, but sometimes, I know I needed it. No doubt there's somebody here, you're just going through it this morning. Instead of just firming up and I just decide, okay, God, I'm going to lay it at the altar. Sin? Christian, yeah, you might be dealing with some sin. Why don't you just lay it at the altar this morning? Heartache, to lay it at the altar. Having trouble with your children, come to Jesus, lay it at the altar. Not for sure you're saved and not for sure you have a home in heaven. Aren't you this morning, hey, today's the day I'm going to get saved and become a child of God. Our Heavenly Father, sure do love you. Lord, very simple, I know, very simple practical message here, but I thank God that you're my Lord. I thank God that you're my Lord. I thank God that even when I go through it, God, you've not forgotten me and you hear my cries. I thank God for being the Lord that says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. I thank God for being that friend, being that God that's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I thank God that you promise in Hebrews that you'll never leave me or forsake me and so many more promises. I think the children of Israel here, God, were a little frustrated. They were really hurting. I know they were. And when Moses came in and couldn't even You know, at first it just seems like, God, why'd you send me here? Nothing seems to be happening here. I think they were even more frustrated, and I thank God for that message this morning that you sent to the children of Israel. I hear you. I'm going to release these burdens. I am the Lord your God. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless this simple message. Bless every heart. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Not sure where you are this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I encourage you on that first note. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, would you please, oh, please, my friend, don't leave here without knowing Jesus. Come on forward. Someone will be more than glad to take the Word of God and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Maybe here today, Christian, church member, you're going through it, aren't you? Some tough time. Today, just say, you know what? I'm going to lay it on the altar. You know, our invitation is so, our invitation song, I Surrender All. Why don't you just decide I'm going to surrender it all to Jesus. The music's going to play. That's it. Carrying some heavy burden? Why don't you lay it on the altar this morning? Going through a difficult time? Come lay it on the altar this morning. Hey, my friend, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? You should decide today. Today's a day of salvation. I'm going to go ahead and nail down. I'm going to get saved this morning. Become a child of God. That's it. Just hand it on over to Jesus. He'll take it.